good to be with you this evening. It was good to see that presentation, Brother Joshua, that's correct. And your good wife, we'll be praying for you in the Solomon Islands. Isn't it great to see that the Lord is still moving people? And we all work for the same master, no matter where we are. We need to keep in mind that we're all on the same team, and the Lord is still moving in the hearts of the people throughout the world. If you turn with me this evening to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to read the first four verses. Now what we'll do tonight, I don't know if you normally do it, I think you do normally, is stand while we read the word, and then we'll open in prayer, and then we'll continue on from there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, be with us this evening, Lord. Lord, we pray that you will open the word. Lord, you will move in our hearts this evening. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I liked when I got here tonight, I went into the other room. I don't know if you call it the kitchen area. I liked all the signs for Acts 1:8. Is that correct? It was all around the room. I'd like to go direct to this. I like the word both. It's a big both, isn't it? Okay. And we know what the significance of that verse is. Let me read it for you. You should know all that. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you know, we know what the significance of that word both is. The big both means that you were to be involved all at the same time, in all them places. Both here in the local community and out to the uttermost part of the earth. Tonight I want to talk to you about the heart of God. And we see in this small passage of Scripture, I'll try and be short, not stature, but in time tonight, we see that the heart of God here, when the Apostle Paul wrote these things, he said, I exhort you, the first supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Sometimes we think about ourselves. Actually, most times we think about ourselves, don't we? Okay? And what Christ wants us to do is get the big picture in view. He wants us to launch out into the deep and think about that we are all serving the same master, that we're all on the same team, and we need to think about these things sometimes. Sometimes we get mixed up and we get caught up with our circumstances and we forget about the big picture, why we are here, and we forget the reason that Christ left us here. That we're to be witnesses in the area where God has placed us. We're to be witnesses in the places where we live, that everywhere around us and to the uttermost part of the earth is the mission field. Many people I've heard it around, oh brother, in churches around the world, they say, oh brother, we have a mission program. And that's nice, isn't it? You know, when Christ called his 12 together, and he sent them out, we know that he sent out the 12. Afterwards, he sent out the 70. And again, he called them at the end before he was getting ready to be received up into glory. And he sent out the 11 because one was indisposed. We know about him. And later on, he called another one called the Apostle Paul. He sent them out to reach the world. That is the mission program. The church is an organism. It is growing. It is to be active. And it is to be moving. and advancing at all times. An active church, or should I say a New Testament church, is actively involved in all aspects at the same time. Would you agree with me? Okay. It's not just me, my problems, what's happening to me. It's the big picture. Many years ago, I was saved in a little country town just outside of Belfast. So I was at a church camp. I was saved there at the age of 16. And when I prayed the sinner's prayer and I asked Christ to forgive me and to come into my heart and to be my Savior, when I opened my eyes, I was still here on planet Earth. That's amazing, isn't it? And you know why God left me here on planet Earth and why He left you here on planet Earth if you've received Christ as Savior? To be a witness for Him. And many Christians around the world today are sleeping. Many are tied up and they think, oh, I've got my cross to bear. And most of the crosses that they bear, they say, is because of their own stupidity. Okay? But God wants us to be a light in the community and in His program. I believe that there is no difference between the church and missions. The church is missions. When He sent them 11 men, and then later the Apostle Paul, when He called him, when He met him on the road to Damascus, He sent them out into the world. That the church is the mission. Do you understand that? This is the building, okay? We are the church, and we are to be actively involved in reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, we know that. I believe you've been taught the Bible here, so I'll just read it out, okay? Christ said, go and teach. Go and teach. And what was the scope? Make disciples and to reach all nations. And that's what we're to think about today. We're to think about whether it be in the Solomon Islands, whether it's in Spain or in South America or anywhere, we're to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I look around and I see the things that are in Europe are changing very quickly. I believe today we are in the 11th hour prophetically. I see the change of things happening around the world. Europe's in a mess. The Middle East is in a bigger mess than it's always been in a mess. But we see things happening in the world, and we may be living in the last moment. And we're to be here, and we're to be actively involved in reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ gave the command, Matthew chapter 28, in Romanian it says, the great burden. Okay? That's the word they use. They put the big burden or the great sending out. We need to be burdened by this. And say, Lord, what can I do today to advance Your kingdom? Lord, is there someone here today that I'm going to meet that doesn't know You as Savior? You know what a command is? It's not an optional extra, is it? It's a command. Okay? If you go and join the army today, you go into basic training, the sergeant doesn't come into the room and say, now if you guys would like to go on a little run this morning for 5 kilometers, we'll be leaving in 10 minutes. He doesn't do that. He bursts in there and he says, get ready, we're going, no question, it's a command. Okay? It's not an optional extra. It's not if it's convenient for you. But you know what many Christians today are sleeping. They think, oh, it's not convenient. Many people today know much about investment in monetary terms. But spiritual terms, they're sleeping. A missionary is an ambassador sent out by the church or churches of like faith to a people group. It's an extension of the church to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I won't give you a lot of verses tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I keep thinking of the heart of God. What does He want us to do? And I look at some of the words that the Apostle Paul has put in his epistles. And I look here in verse 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You know what Apostle Paul's prayer was here? I want the word of God to go out. I want you, the church, to pray for it, that the word of God will go out. It won't return void, and that the word of God will be unleashed amongst the people, that God can do a work in their hearts. And that's what Paul's prayer was. And I'm sure that's Brother Joshua's prayer tonight. He wants the word of God to go out. And I want, and certainly in Romania, for the word of God to go out. We also have oppositions. You know, when you're doing something, you'll always have opposition. Whenever you're doing something, you'll always have jealousy. And religious leaders will oppose you. But we're not into a religion. We're into sharing the most important message in the world with sinful man. Paul said in this prayer, he wanted no restrictions for the word of God. He wanted the Lord to move in the hearts of people. He wanted to bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Paul knew that if men could hear God's word, it would convict men of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Paul also knew that God's word is quick and powerful. A missionary is like a soldier. You ever thought about it like that? He's been equipped. He's been sent out. He's been supported. And we value your prayers. Many times you don't know the things that lie before us. We value your prayers. This year, I know that, I don't know if you're aware of it, Britain's going to vote on whether they want to stay in the EU or not. And that means if they will or stay in the EU, that's okay for us. If they want to withdraw from the EU, that means our visa is attached to our with having a British passport, you see. So we need you to pray for that. We'll see what happens. I was a little bit concerned about this, but I still know that God's in control. So I went on the website for the Irish Republic, you know, the other side, you know. So I'm from the north of Ireland, and the Irish Republic's the rest of it, you know. So I went on the website there, and I clicked on there, and they said, they will give an Irish Republican passport to anyone born on the island of Ireland. Okay, so that's interesting, because if I need to, I can swap nationalities. Okay. But I want to get back to why we're there. I want to talk about some of the young men that we're working with at the moment. I want to brag on God, not on me. I don't want you to think anything else, okay? We have a few young men in our church that have been saved through the ministry. We have some older ladies that have been saved through the ministry. We have a couple of ladies in their mid-50s or so that were saved a couple of years ago. They were baptized in July last year. They have undergone persecution from their families, from their friends that have turned their backs on them. These two ladies, Lanuzza and Marinella. You'll probably forget their names after a while, but that's okay. They were from Orthodox families. And when someone changes their religion, as they say in Romania, they undergo persecution. They say, you're not a true Romanian anymore. You're a traitor. You've insulted and put to shame the family. And they pay for that. One of the ladies, Lanuzza, she was a little bit upset last year, early in the year. And she bumped into some old friend that she used to work with some 15 years earlier, and she said, you shouldn't be going to that church down there. That's a bad church, referring to our church, okay? You shouldn't be going to that church. You should come to the Baptist Union Church with me. So I went and I saw the notes, and I said to her, I said, I believe you have a problem. She said, oh, my friend said that the church is bad. And I said, have you heard anything bad? She said, no, it's good. We've been learning from the Bible. Everything's good. And I said, well, that's great, okay. And I said, what are the problems? Oh, this lady's a friend of mine. I used to work with her 15 years ago. And I said, Lanuzza, when did you get saved? And she said, oh, in the last few months I got saved or so. And I said, that's good. I said, that lady who was working with you that went to the Baptist Union Church 15 years ago, did she ever share the gospel with you? And she said, no. And I said, well, if she really cared about your heart and your soul, she would have shared the gospel. And you're in a church that preaches the Word of God, and you're hearing and you're growing. And it was a privilege to baptize her in July last year with another lady, Marinella. I want to talk about two other young men. We have, in 2014, we had a young guy started coming to our church. Well, 32 or so, that's pretty young, isn't it? Yeah. Marius started coming to our church. And when he first came to our church, he said, Brother Billy, he said to me, in Romanian they say, Brother Pastor, okay? Okay, just to confuse you a little bit, okay? So he came to me and he said, Fratele Pastor, I want to leave some secondhand clothing. I've been talking to the other churches and we thought we could leave it at your church to help the poor people. And I said, oh, well, we can talk about that. That's a good thought. He's interested in helping the poor people. But I said to him, Marius, are you a Christian? And he said, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm Orthodox, but I'm a Christian. It doesn't matter Orthodox, Pentecostal, Baptist, Seventh-day, it doesn't matter. We all love Jesus, don't we? That's what he said. And I said, no, Marius, the Bible tells us that you're a sinner and you're not a good person. Well, he was really upset about that I said that to him. And he got bent out of shape. And he kept coming to church intermittently for a few weeks. And anyway, he came back and he said, after a couple of weeks or something, he turned up and he said, Fratelli Pastor, I'd like to be baptized. Would you baptize me? And I said, no. And he said, why? Why can't I get baptized? And I said, because you're a sinful person. You need to sort a problem out between you and God. There's a separation between you and God. And you need to repent of your sins and ask Him to be your personal Savior. And he said, oh, no, I'm a good person. I said, well, that's the problem. God says you're not a good person. So he left. He said he wasn't coming back to that nasty church anymore. And he went up the road and he went to the Baptist Union Church, a big church. Okay? Much bigger than our church. Anyway, he went to there and he saw the pastor. He said, Fratelli Pastor, I want to be baptized. No problem. Next week we have a baptismal service. As it happens, we've got 8 candidates and you can join them. You can be candidate number 9. No problem. So I went along to church for the week, and on Friday I was out at the front of the building doing something on the building, and Marius came to me and he said, Fratelli Pastor, if I come to this church, will you teach me the Bible? And I said, Marius, if you come to this church, we'll only teach you the Bible. And he said, I said, but aren't you getting baptized at the other church up the road? And he said, no, I'm not getting baptized now. I said, why not? And he said, there was something not right. He said he'll do it, and you said you won't do it. Why wouldn't you do it, and he would? So he started coming along to the church, and one Sunday night, the Lord put it on my heart to make an appeal for salvation. And I said, if there's anybody here, would they raise their hand? And I'd like to talk to them after the service. And Marius' hand went up. And you know, he got saved that night. I spent about an hour and a half going through it. I wanted him to understand what was going on. And he received Christ that night. You know, there's been a change in his life. Just like that. And you know, you can see a change in someone's life. The first time, when I walked into the room, before I led him to Christ, I said, Marius, what about that problem between you and God? Are you a good person? He said, no, I'm a sinful man. And I received Christ the Savior. You know, Marius has been growing. In January, February, there's an independent college about 140 kilometers from us, and they had a training program for working with young people. And Marius and another young guy from our church, Danny, they graduated from the course. And Marius is so good with young kids. Caitlin phoned me just before Christmas. They had the last kids club breakup for the year. And Marius was to be the preacher. Now, normally we go on a Friday afternoon. You know what it's like Friday afternoon? A pair of trousers and a shirt, something tidy, you know, casual. Marius turned up in a suit and a tie. Really handsome, you know, a bit like myself. But anyway, he turned up there, And Caitlin said it was the best message to children that she's ever heard. You know, he's grown in his faith. And he brought it down. That the kids understand. And that's what it's all about, for people to understand the Word of God. And I had the pleasure of baptizing Marius in August last year with another young guy from our church, Kathleen. Okay, I'm telling about these things. I want you to realize that God is the one that's doing the work. Okay, not I'm just doing what God's called me to do. And He works through His Word. Okay? I was going to baptize in July, and I called for people to be candidates for baptism, and these two boys didn't come forward. And I didn't know what was going on. Anyway, after they saw baptism, they came to me straight after the service. Brother Anger was there for the baptism for the two ladies. And they came to me and he said, "Fratelli Pastor, we want to be baptized now." I said, "Well, why didn't you do it this morning, you know?" And they said, "We didn't know about baptism, what it entitled and what we had to do. We've never seen a baptism before. We're from Orthodox families." Anyway, it was a pleasure to baptize these two boys. The elder young guy, Kathleen, okay, he was saved at camp 2014 on a Thursday night at camp. He came, he was interested in Christina, a young girl that's been coming to our church. Caitlin led her to the Lord when she was 12. She's just turned 18, or is turning 18 now. Okay, he came because of Christina. He saw Christina, pretty girl, and he latched on to her. Okay, he started coming to the church, and his motive was wrong. And he came to the church, you know, when the hymns were being sung, there was always something interesting on the ground. I don't know what it was, but he seemed to find something interesting on the ground. He couldn't look up. And you know, when we got the Bible out to read the Word of God or to preach the Word of God, he wasn't interested. There was the same thing attracted him that was on the ground, you know. So he came to camp, took a week off work. Came to camp, but on the Thursday night, or during the day on Thursday, actually, we went to him and said, "Kathleen, you've come here with the wrong motive to camp. Why did you come to camp?" "Because of Christina. You've got your eye on Christina. Why did you come to camp?" I said, "If you want to do something about your salvation, you have to come and see us." On a Thursday night, the same day, on Thursday evening, he came. While the others are at the bonfire down the paddock, he came and he said he wanted to talk about salvation. I asked him, "Is he serious? Has he got correct motives?" And he received Jesus Christ as Savior that night. And you know, his life changed. On Thursday night, he received Christ as Savior. On Friday morning, we called him out. We have a testimony this morning at the youth camp. Kathleen. And he gave his testimony. And you know, it moved the people. The young people that were there. You know, we have camps during the week at camp time. We have service in the morning, another one in the evening, and games and fun and all during the day. But I put people on the spot to give their testimony. Isn't that good? No warnings. I just said, "Brother so-and-so, Danny, testimony out front. Would you like that?" You can't get frightened and all agitated and everything if you don't know anything about it. See? It keeps them on the boil. Anyway, Kathleen returned to work on Monday, back at the cable company where he was working. And when he went back to work on Monday, that was okay. Monday, and he came home on Thursday, opened the double doors out of his to go off the street into his house, and there he found his dad had hung himself, committed suicide. And as soon as I found out about it, I contacted Kathleen. I went and saw him, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Where would I be if I hadn't met Jesus last week?" He said, "I'm okay. I've got a new song in my heart. I'm saved. I know Christ the Savior. I've got a comforter, and He lives within." Pray for these young men that I've mentioned tonight. God is working on their hearts. And both of them have done discipleship classes with me. Done soul winners classes with me, and now they're studying doctrine. Okay? Slowly, slowly. But God is using them. I want you to think about this tonight, that the Word of God is living. God doesn't have a plan B in case plan A doesn't work. It's plan A or nothing. Okay? Go into the world, reach people for Christ. Okay? I like to refer to it as God's, you know the RBD, you know what that is? Now, you've never been convicted at the RBD, I hope not, okay? You haven't, have you? Okay, you know what it is. Pulled over by the side of the road, by the place, breathing here and this and that. God has an RPT program that many Christians don't know about. They're sleeping, they're thinking about themselves, and it's reach, preach, and teach. That's God's program. That's why we're here, to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing nothing different in Romania. The church is a living organism. It's active, it's to be active or dead. It's to be moving ahead, advancing. When Christ gave the command, occupy till I come, it means do business. And we're to be doing His business. We're in the 11th hour. Things around the world, they're changing. And I want to reach people that I come in contact with. And I hope that's your heart too. That it's not just, oh, the missionary that we support, he's over there and we pay him and that's his job. I don't see that in Scripture. Okay? The missionary might be supported over there financially and prayerfully, but that doesn't let anybody else off the hook. We're all to be involved in the program. Occupy till I come. Not survive till I come. Not be passive till I come. Remember the men who were given talents. Remember there's three of them. One given five talents, one given three, one given one talent. And we know that the one that got five, he doubled it, didn't he? The one that was given three, he doubled it. What happened to the number three candidate? He buried it, didn't he? He wasted it. And you know what God wants us to do is use what we have. Use what we have. This is God's big plan. Paul states God's big plan. Supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Sometimes we put people in categories. Oh, that guy or that woman, they'll never be saved. Have you seen their life? It's such a mess. And we look and we put them in the big sin, the small sin category. You know, any sin is sin. And if you haven't fixed up your relationship with God through asking for forgiveness and receiving Christ as Savior, you'll miss the mark. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not big sinners, big small sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God wants all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth from all nations. I want you to pray for us in Romania. When I go back, American missionary contacted me a few weeks ago. There's a church about 125 kilometers from us called Drobeta Turnu-Severin. Okay, don't worry about that. I won't quiz you on that. The pastor walked out and left them last year. IB Church. Have about 40 people or so going to the church. Church has been was planted about 20 odd years ago. And the pastor, we don't need to go into everything, but he got into sin and he walked out on the church. A couple of the missionaries that are looking after the church there, sending on preachers from the Bible College or from elsewhere, young assistant pastors from various churches, to preach for the weekend for these people, for Sunday. Would you pray for just Turnu-Severin? Okay? I've been asked if I will help with that and to step in and be interim pastor for them, as well as look after the work that is going on at our church, Vestibuna. Vestibuna means good news, by the way. We don't use the good news Bible. Don't get confused, okay? We've got the good news. Okay? The church is people. People are to come together and to be equipped for the work of the ministry. I'm going to only share a few more references with you. And I hope you get the heart of God. God wants all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to turn to Ephesians with me, chapter 4. A couple of years ago, I was at a church. A lady came after church. She said, Pastor, did you know how long your sermon went for this morning? And I said, no, I wasn't watching the time. I just finished. When it ends, it's finished. He said, it went for an hour and 10 minutes. And I said, oh, sorry about that. She lived. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. And he gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. See here in verse 11, we see that Christ has given gifts to the church for the perfecting of the saints. Now, many people get frightened of that word perfecting. Okay. You won't be in danger of being perfect down here, as our understand, okay, of that word, okay? But that means maturing, to bring to completion. And you know what God's program is? For people to get saved, baptized, and added to the church. And when they come to the church, they're to be equipped. What's it say here? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You know who's to do the work of the ministry? Every saint. Every saved person is compelled, ordered, commanded, if you like, to do the work of the ministry. There's no substitutes on God's bench. All are to be involved. Verse 13, can we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God onto a perfect man, a complete, mature man? What's this all about? Maturing. Okay? Who do you send to reach people? Someone mature. Who do you say, brother or sister, that lady needs help or that man needs help? Can you instruct them in the Bible? Who do you send? Someone who knows something, no? Okay, it's logic. The church is people. And people are to come to church, saved, baptized, added to the church. And when they're in the meeting, they are to be equipped and get into work during the week. That's what we're here for. And that's what we're doing in Moldova Noah. We've seen people growing in their faith. I had a young guy that were training for the ministry, Danny Motosko, okay? He started coming to our church for a couple of weeks. He was saved at the camp. Had an affiliation with the Baptist Union Church in one of the villages. Went back to Baptist Union Church and told him he was saved. They didn't know what to do with him. Okay? Because in Romanian villages, you grow up in the village. And if your family is affiliated with a Baptist church, you're a Baptist. If you're affiliated with the Orthodox church, you're Orthodox. And when you get to the age of 18, I don't know why the age of 18, but all of a sudden you're a candidate for baptism, you get baptized, and you're saved. You didn't know that, did you? Okay? And that's what happens. Anyway, Danny got saved at the camp, went to this church. The pastor doesn't know what he believes. He's a millennium something. I don't know what he is. But anyway, and they didn't know what to do with him. So Nico, my son-in-law, bumped into him and he said, Danny, where are you going to church? Oh, I went here, but no good. And he said, you're coming with me. I started coming to our church in 2011. After a couple of weeks, his parents left the other church. I don't know how to refer to them, but the other church, okay? Okay, the social club, whatever you want to call it. They left that. And his mom, Veronica, and his dad, Geza. Geza means George, okay, in English. Helping you out there, okay. Veronica is Veronica, okay. But they say Veronica, okay. They came to church, and his mom, Veronica, came to me, and she said, Fratelli Pastor, I have learned more here in the last 3 months than I've learned at 40 years in the other place. Praise the Lord. 40 years of listening to twaddle, to dribble, from a pastor who doesn't know what he believes. Okay? You know what we want to do? When the people come to church, we want to unleash this book. Nothing else. Nothing less and nothing more. Just to teach them what God says. The church is to be involved in missions. There is no separation between church and missionaries. No church and missions, but a body of believers that is a growing organism going out to reach people around the world. Okay? When the church was persecuted in Acts chapter 8, what did it do? It was dispersed, wasn't it? It was persecuted, it was dispersed. And they went out everywhere. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And that's what we need to think about today. It's not for me to build a big pile of treasures here on the earth. And that'll make me happy. God wants to be happy with you. And you know how He is happy with you? When you do what you're called to do. Okay? When He saved you for a purpose. He saved you to reach other people. The church needs to get back to spiritual basics. That's what we need to think about. Basic training. Spiritual basic training. And say, why are we here? Cut out all the other stuff. Let's get to the bare bone and say, why are we here? To reach people for Christ. The church needs to get back to spiritual basics. It is the lifeblood of the body of Christ. Many times we're involved with programs, but the main program needs to stay the main program. Naturally, every missionary wants people to be interested in his mission field. Is that correct, brother? But when the church starts thinking that way, how can we help? What can we do? How can we plug in there? How can we be connected? Then we'll start doing something. Okay? When it's all fractured and broken and it's not working, nothing is happening. But when we're preaching and teaching and reaching out to other people, then God is pleased. How do we help missionaries? What difficulties does he face? I've explained to you about the passport visa. God will get us through that. That's okay. Sometimes a missionary, well, we have felt sometimes a little bit of lack of fellowship. Sometimes that's a little bit hard. Sometimes all my life I've been a foreigner. Okay? But that's okay. I've got another citizenship. Okay? But just pray for the missionary, because although he's working in a country, he's not part of them. But that's okay. That's okay. When the Apostle Paul was sent out, he wasn't part of where he was going to reach. Did he know he was going to go to Macedonia? Did he know he was going to go and reach all the other people? But he did. I want you to pray effectively for the missionary. When the apostles understood that this was the command, then things happened. Remember after the resurrection of Christ, in a few weeks, we celebrate Easter. I was looking over the scriptures the other day, and you know when Christ said many of the times when he met the ladies, when he met the other people, what did he say to them? Tell the disciples, go back and tell them to meet me at the seaside, didn't he? Is that correct? Is that not correct? No? Read your Bible, okay? It says, tell the disciples that I'll meet them there. And through their discouragement, through their lack of faith, he had to come and meet them in the upper room. That wasn't his intention, I think you'll see. Have a look. Meet me. He'll say, he said to the women, tell them that I'll meet them there. Okay? Let's put discouragement aside and get involved with God's big program. Okay? To reach people for Christ, to share the good news, because this world is in darkness. Last year, I watched the evening news, and they had a contingent of Orthodox priests that came back from an audience with the Pope. Okay? They called him Papa. He's not my papa, but they called him papa. And they also, I saw an interview with Rick Warren. You know that guy? No comment. Anyway, he had been to visit papa as well, with the Pentecostals and other Baptists and other groups, Hindus and all the rest of it. Even some Muslims and all there. And they all went to visit papa, okay? And they interviewed Rick Warren. He's always a good man. He's a gospel preacher, blah, 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 blah. You know, the rest of it. Anyway, then I saw the evening news in Romania, and they interviewed some of the Orthodox priests that came back. They'd also been there, and they interviewed them. And they said, oh, it was wonderful, Papa. Everything was good. And they said, we are happy to come under the headship of Papa, the Orthodox Church, in the next 2 to 3 years. Have you read in the end of the book where there's one world religion? Do you see where we're heading? No, what does that mean? We know it's going to happen, but what does that mean to us? We need to wake up. We need to say, in 2 or 3 or 4 years, who knows? Or who knows if there is another 2 or 3 years? Okay, we need to wake up and think that the time is short. The days are evil. We need to reach people for Christ while it is yet day. Thank you.